He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Amen. Word of God we wish to consider this morning on this Easter day is from the book of Romans, chapter 4, the last verse of that chapter. Paul says, He, that is Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is God's word in Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. What a joy-filled day is today, right? Can't help but recognize that with the hymns this morning, the festival flowers that you see in front of you, the greetings that you had today to and from each other. Just an incredible morning today, unlike any other, as we celebrate, of course, the very cornerstone of our salvation, our faith in Christ Jesus, that He lives and reigns over all things for us and for our salvation. Just a wonderful day. People add to that, too, because, you know, not only the flowers and the greetings and maybe an Easter breakfast, we don't have anything, you know, like the ones that maybe we used to remember, like the eggs and the bacon and the pancakes, you know, and the nice new clothes that some of the kids maybe are wearing and all that stuff. It just thrills us today to be able to gather together for the celebration of Easter. But none of that would matter if really this was all just a charade. Concocted. Made up. Pretends. Just an annual spring festival. Maybe that's what we should call it instead, because, well, what really happened on Easter? Did it really happen? You got to wonder that, don't you? Doesn't that sometimes bother you that, well, maybe this really didn't actually happen? Were you listening to the epistle lesson for today? I should have really read the first few verses of chapter 15 in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Because he reminds us that if you have any doubts whatsoever, think of the many people to whom Jesus, alive again after Easter, appeared to. Obviously the disciples, other individuals, and some 500 people all at the same time. There is no doubt, no question whatsoever that our Lord lives and rules eternally. Because that's the essence of Easter, and it's also the essence of our faith and our salvation. As Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, we are still in our sins, and our faith is futile. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And that's the declaration that we want to focus on today. God's declaration about Jesus on Easter. Why is that so important? Because Jesus is now our living, reigning Lord and Savior. And because you and I now are God's children by faith in Christ Jesus, the living Lord and Savior. You ever look up the word declaration? Oh, well, usually about the only time we ever think of the declaration is maybe 4th of July, Declaration of Independence, right? What does that word mean? What sense do you get from that word declaration? Webster's dictionary puts it this way. It's a statement of fact, not opinion, not impression, not emotion. Well, I added that. A formal announcement. Something that is made clearly known, stated openly, formally, positively, emphatically. Exactly. That's what Easter is. God's emphatic exclamation point to everything Jesus had done when he came to this earth to be our Savior. Easter is that dramatic, emphatic event that puts a period after everything Jesus did. There were certainly other things that Jesus did during his lifetime that were certainly emphatic and dramatic. For example, at his baptism, remember what happened? Came up out of the water, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." A voice from heaven, which is God the Father's voice itself. And again later on, about 2.5 years later, at his transfiguration, same voice, almost same words. "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him," the voice said. God the Father, speaking again about his dear Son, Jesus. What about every one of his miracles? You ever stop and think about those? Amazing, you know, we are impressed, but each one was also a statement of fact that this is the very Son of God who has almighty power. The confessions of various people, Peter, when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," when the disciples joined in, when that woman at the well of Sychar said, "This is the one who said, told me everything that I have done." Something that only the Son of God could certainly do, the Messiah. And certainly plenty of others who spoke throughout Jesus' public ministry, those 3 years. And Scripture itself. "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's the key to it all. As John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world," pointing to Jesus. And isn't that the standard Sunday school answer that we are so used to giving? Why did Jesus come? "Jesus came to be my Savior, to die on the cross, to take away my sins." And that's exactly right. That is correct. Jesus did that. But why did he have to die to accomplish that? Right, Hebrews tells us, "The law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. That's why Jesus had to die. Why he is, in fact, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world by the sacrifice of himself. He made the payment that the law demands. Remember? Paul says to the Romans, the wages of sin, is death. The soul who sins is the one who will die. Jesus never sinned. Not even for a moment. Not even a thought or word, much less any action. So why did he have to die? He died for you and for me. It was our sins that Jesus bore on the cross, so that Jesus Christ came to this earth, took upon himself our human flesh and blood, and went all the way to Calvary's cross to die there as payment for all our sins, for all sinners. He came to die for our sins, yours and mine. But that was Good Friday. Now the cloth on the cross is white, because it's Easter. And that's God's declaration. Remember that word? God's declaration that the payment has been received. Go to the bank. Go to the store. Go online. You buy something, and you do have to pay for it. And so you write out a check. Or you, remember that stuff? You give them cash. Remember that stuff? Or you use that credit card. And what do you get after you make the payment? You get a receipt, right? That tells you and everyone else that the payment has been made and received and accepted. But if that payment is off by even just a penny, which isn't worth much nowadays, if it's not all the way to the point of the very last penny, then the sale is incomplete. There's no sale at all. And then somehow you have to make up that last little cent that is missing. Go to God's courtroom. And what you and I owe to God because of our sins. It's an incredible amount. It is something impossible for any of us to pay for. We would hope and pray that there would be some way in which we could say, you know, get a receipt that proves to everyone that, yeah, all the payment has been made and we've got the receipt. But if there's even 1 cent of a sin that is not paid for, that sale didn't go through. And then we have no salvation. And we have no Savior. Then we would have to come up with that last little cent of payment for sins, wouldn't we? We would have to somehow do something in order to make up for what was deficient in what Jesus did for us. That would be horrifying. Because would we ever be able to do even just that one last little thing, no matter how much we may try, how long it may take, how much we may do? It'll never be enough. We would never know whether we had done what we needed to do. So there would be no sale, no salvation. But see, God came up with the solution. He solved that infinite dilemma and problem that you and I have, that we can't pay for a single sin. And he provided proof positive that the payment was received full and complete with an empty tomb. There was no body. Remember the gospel lesson for today? The women went there to Jesus' tomb, that Joseph's new tomb where Jesus' body had been laid. And the angel said, "He is not here. He is risen." Because the payment was complete, all sufficient, and God agreed by raising his son from the dead. Payment for all sins has been accepted in full. Because Jesus died and rose again. Now, why is that so important to you and me? Why is that such a reason for celebrating, like on a day for today? The Apostle Paul says in our text, he was delivered over to death for our sins. And was raised to life for our justification. Big word. Justification. Easy word? Pardoned. Think of God's courtroom. That's, after all, what this is. It's a legal term that we're using here. Justification. Judge and jury have heard all the evidence and all the arguments, and you are guilty. There's no question whatsoever. But that's only if all the evidence shows that you have done the deed. And you and I well know that is certainly the case. Even our conscience reminds us of that day in and day out. We have fallen short of His glory, His demands. We haven't lived up to the commands that Jesus has given us. But if that judge and jury would declare us not guilty, again, the only way that's possible is if the evidence proved that we didn't do what was claimed and charged against us. Unless somehow someone may have entered into the courtroom and said, no, I'll take that punishment. I'll bear that consequence of sin in their place. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He took our place and took the case that stood against us. All the things that we have done, all the things that we have been charged with, guilty as charged, airtight case closed. Because we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our iniquities have separated us from our God. The wages of sin is death. We've been sinful from birth, sinful from the time our mothers conceived us. But God could not ignore, dismiss, and disregard the problem that stood against us. That's why, in fact, out of love for us, infinite love, He came up with an ingenious and gracious plan to send His Son to suffer and die in our place. Jesus took the case. No, literally, He took the whole case, the whole caseload of our sins, and put them on His shoulders and died on the cross for those sins of ours. And so now Jesus paid for it all for us. The debt owed to God was paid in full. Sin's punishment and consequences borne and carried away by Him, and the death sentence that we deserve, we were doomed. Jesus died on Good Friday instead. And so here it is on Easter, as Paul says, God raised His Son Jesus to life for our justification, for our pardoning. The judge declares us not guilty for the sake of Jesus, and Jesus' resurrection from the dead is God's bill of sale to prove that the transaction is complete. Our sins have been paid for, all forgiven. Eternal life is ours as a free gift in Christ Jesus. Heaven and our salvation is ours and waits for us in heaven. Just as He promised when He told the disciples, trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And Paul's words to the Corinthians, chapter 15, read it all. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory for our Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our Easter joy. Jesus won the victory over sin, death, and hell for us. It is ours. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in our living Lord and Savior. Amen.
We'll respond with
hymn number 143.